Hello and welcome to The Table, the GBM Can, to our arts program here on Radio Blue Mountains, 89.1 FM. To kick it off, of course, we're going to do Talking Arts. And we have two interviews tonight, which is great. We like to have a full show. So the first one is with Lisa Edwards and then an artist named Sarah O'Sullivan. Both of these ladies are ceramicists who live out the Lithgow area, and they're both going to be exhibiting down at Hands on Clay, the fourth version thereof, for 2024. And it kicked off a few years ago now, about 4 years ago, about 2001, I believe, with both of these ladies. They were both in that initial Hands on Clay 1 exhibition, and we're going to talk to them about what they're going to be showing at the new exhibition and go through both of their careers. So stick around. And then, of course, after Talking Arts, we'll be having Blue Mountains Live, where we also have two interviews. One I'm very excited about, which is Manus McGuire, who's an excellent fiddle player from Ireland, who's touring the country at the moment with his friend Adam Ogle from New Zealand. But they're going to be appearing at the Blue Mountains Music Festival on the weekend. So the two ladies, the two artists who are appearing, not this weekend, but they're going to be exhibiting the weekend after. But yeah, Manus is going to be appearing this weekend, so it'll be good to hear from him and find out where and when. And then after that, at the end of Blue Mountains Live, before the directories, we're going to talk to Marty Bright, who's a comedian and local event organizer, who's starting up a new enterprise at a new venue in Katoomba Street, in a laneway in Bursal Lane off Katoomba Street. And he's going to be showing, will be hosting a new comedy show down there with Dan Muggleton as the first guest comedian, and he's going to be supporting as well. So lots of stuff going on. So stick around. We're going to hear some music, and then we're going to kick it off with Lisa Edwards and talking about Hands on Clay 4. I'm Brad Diedrich, the professor. This is Talking Arts, and you're on Radio Blue Mountains, 89.1 FM.
This is Talking Arts, our weekly focus on a wide array of art forms, hosted by the professor every Thursday from 6.
Hello and welcome to The Table, the two-hour show we do on Radio Blue Mountains, 89.1 FM. It's the only arts program here on the station, but it's sponsored by GB and Can, which is the Greater Blue Mountains Creative Arts Network. And this segment is called Talking Arts. The first hour of the program is Talking Arts. And this week we're talking to Lisa Edwards. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Hello, Brad. Great to be here. Thank you.
Now, we're talking to Lisa because the next version of Hands on Clay opens this week at Gang Gang Gallery out at Lithgow, at 206 Main Street, Lithgow. And Lisa is an alumni. She was in the original Hands on Clay, as she pointed out, 4 years ago. And so we might get you to go back in time and tell us a little bit about how you got involved with the first one and what you were showing there, and then we'll move on to the one that's opening this weekend, Lisa.
Great, yes. Well, it has been 4 years since Sharon, who's the director of Gang Gang Gallery, started Hands on Clay. And I've known Sharon since the beginning of the gallery, which is, gosh, several years before that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I met her when at the opening. And I was telling her how many people, potters, are tucked away in the hills all over.
Right.
And yes, a lot of people don't know that they're there. And wouldn't a ceramics exhibition be a great idea? And she ran with it, which is wonderful, and has scooped, you know, talented ceramic artists from all over the place, from Sydney and the mountains and all around our local area and further west.
I was going to say
the
perception of potters and people who work with clay in the Seven Valleys is now Immensely changed. And a lot has to do with hands on clay. I think people now are aware of a lot of the people who work in the Lithgow area in clay and associated things, and because of that exhibition.
Absolutely. And Sharon very, very cleverly timed it to coincide with Clay Gulgong, which is an international clay fest up in Gulgong that's been going for many, many years, started by Janet Mansfield up there and now continued on by her daughter-in-law and son. And so as people go through Lithgow out towards Gulgong to the Clay Fest out there, they can come and see Hands on Clay and the work that's being developed in this area. So it's great all round. There's clay everywhere, Brad.
Brilliant, brilliant. I wasn't actually aware of the Gulgong one. So what's that? That's called Clay Fest, is it?
Clay Gulgong.
Oh, Clay Gulgong
now. Okay. Yeah, it's had many different names. But look, it's probably over 30 years that it's been going all up. And then every couple of years they have it. And clay masters come from all over the world and they demonstrate and exhibit, and potters from all over the country come descend on that tiny town of Gulgong.
And hopefully, therefore, there is a spillover to Hands on Clay.
Indeed. Yes, there is. They stop on the way up and on the way back to have a look. So that's brilliant. Great.
Excellent. Little mini trail, clay trail.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And not so mini now either.
Right. Of course. Okay. So, and as we said off air, for the first one, you had your Women on Fire.
Yes, my series. Work was called Women Who Play with Fire.
Women Who Play with
Fire. And that started because I fire with wood. My kiln is fired with wood. It's a tunnel kiln and it's quite large and there is a lot of flame involved in that.
Right.
And the work that goes in there.
I imagine it's also quite a sensuous sort of atmospheric thing when you're firing with wood as opposed to...
It is. It's the early stages are lovely. It's a time that you can really sort of contemplate because it's slow. I don't fire my work first, which is called bisking, and I just fire it raw. So make the work, put it in the kiln, fire it. And so it has to be very slow at the beginning so things don't blow up.
And I believe you get involved with building the kilns as well.
Oh, I just had a pile of bricks. I saw a workshop where I saw the results of wood-fired clay and really liked it.
Right.
So just built an experimental kiln to start with. And now the tunnel kiln I have is my first, second, third, fourth in the lineup of kilns that I've built.
Right.
So this one seems to be going really well and I'll continue with it for a while. But it takes a lot of work to fill it. And now I fire by myself. So I fire for about 32 hours.
Right.
And while the beginning is slow, the last 12 hours is stoking wood in that kiln every 5 minutes.
Right.
So 32 hours I found is about my limit. I start to hallucinate after that because you're at 1300 degrees.
Sounds a bit like, working an old steam engine.
Pretty much, I suppose it's been like that. But yes. And then you wait for a week for the kiln to cool down to see the results of all that effort, months of work, and then that intense firing.
And how many pieces per firing?
Well, it obviously depends on the size of them, but my kiln, where the pots are stacked, is probably about 6 feet deep.
Right.
And about just over a metre high and a metre wide. So all that space is pots, and then there's just under a metre of firebox where I'm chucking the wood.
I'm just thinking back to your Women Who Work with Fire pieces that you said there was about 60 or something pieces.
Yeah, I did 60 because I did that in the year I turned 60, and it was sort of I used a single mold that I made the bodies into, and then when they were still soft and came out of the mold, I was sort of manipulating those, and then I had shelves and shelves of those torsos in the kiln, But that took me probably 3 or 4 firings.
Right.
I would have made over 100 to get the 60 that I liked.
Right.
Because there's a lot of failures in wood firing.
Right.
Failures is probably the wrong word, but, you know, it's an organized chaos because you don't know exactly what's going to happen, even though you do know a lot about the process.
Of course. But, I mean, you're an artist. There's still ones you're going to be happy with and ones you're not going to quite think are
absolutely
quite there.
And it's the ones often that you think of, not so sure about that. You have another look and you can see something in them that you didn't see before. So, yeah, I really enjoyed that project.
Right, right. Okay, so how many other hands-on clays have you been in since the first one?
Well, it's been 4 and I've been in 3 of them. I wasn't in last year's because I don't know, I was away or something. Okay. Something happened at the time that I couldn't do it. But, yeah, but very much looking forward to this one because I've got a whole new body of work that's very experimental.
Right.
Very experimental.
Well, we're all moving on. We're all getting older. I think we just get more experimental as we move on through our careers as far as artists go. So,
look, I think that's definitely right. And you don't. I'm certainly not thinking now of that's going to sell lots of pieces. I'm thinking about all the work that I really want to make.
Yeah,
and look, like everybody says, COVID had a big hand in how this work has developed because it was access to materials was very limited.
Right, right. But which is a common response I'm getting from artists is that everybody says, you must have got so much work done because of the amount of time you were given, you know, to do some art. But of course, that's the response everybody says. Yeah, but we couldn't get paints, we couldn't get canvases, we couldn't get, you know, what we needed to do our work, and we couldn't go out and hunt for it or go around to people and visit them and say, have you got some blah 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 I can nick for my artwork? You know, it was being cut off also meant that you couldn't get access to what you needed to create your work.
Yeah, it was certainly an interesting time, wasn't it, all round for so many different reasons.
So where do you source your material, Liz?
I use a lot of recycled clay.
All right.
And I use a lot of clay. I'll dig clay myself, but not enough to do the whole work, and the clay I dig isn't always suitable for a high temperature wood firing. So it's a real mixture. And some clay, if I'm desperate, I'll buy some.
Right, of course.
But for this particular work, I've used all materials off our property at Hampton.
Oh, brilliant. Okay.
That's great. Which involved, this is a secret, mind you, no one will know.
Yeah, well, no one listens to this program.
No. I've been firing the actual rocks from the property.
Oh, okay.
So taking those to high temperature very slowly to see what happens to
and them.
How they change within the kiln, because this is the whole process of clay being made, isn't it? It's rocks that are broken down.
No, well,
that are over.
I've seen those pieces go up on the Gang Gang Facebook, and I was thinking, wow, they look. How long has she spent, you know, sort of creating that rock shape? Because that's really interesting. But you're saying that you pick them up off the ground and then just chuck them in the kiln.
I started making them and I thought, hang on a minute.
Yes.
We live on a very rocky block. What would happen
if I put these in? And why discount Mother Nature herself as being able to make interesting forms, you know?
Yes. Now, there has been a lot of failures in this process, I must say. In this last firing I just did, I lost a lot of work out of the kiln because I'm not a geologist.
Right.
And the rocks that looked very similar to me obviously weren't, because there's a very large one in there that was about 40 centimetres high, fantastic shape. At the end of the firing, it was a puddle all over the shelves and all over the floor and all over the pots around
dear.
It.
Oh, dear.
You know, but this is what happens. If you're going to experiment, that's what's going to happen.
There's a bit of hard mud or something. I imagine mud normally would fire if it has enough clay in it. But.
Well, yes. It will. And I mean, or you can make a glaze or something from it. Yeah.
Brilliant.
But so that was interesting. But there was enough work in there that, for me, is really interesting. And some of the colours and shapes that were formed, or a rock, one particular rock that was quite tall, it fell over and broke in half, and then as the heat progressed, it joined itself back together again and formed a new shape. Mm. Gotta love that.
There's a science fiction movie right there. Then then attacks the house. you mentioned glazes. I did want to ask you about your glaze technique, because some of it's gorgeous. Do you get involved with different materials, different chemicals and things with the glazes?
Yes, I do make my glazes, but I have a very limited palette.
Right.
Because, like I said, look, I'm an experimenter and I'm not good at technical stuff. That's the end of that sentence. I'm just not good at it. I try things out, and as I said, I fail, but I don't always fail.
Well,
but
it's the result and not necessarily the chemistry that people are worried about. I mean, you will get a couple of potters who, you know, compare their ferro oxides and things with you and say, what are you mixing? But other than that, you know, you want the result of the people coming up and going, wow, how did you get that? If that's gorgeous, you know. So
yeah, say God, I don't know, I couldn't do it again, that's for sure.
Which of course makes the item rarer and worth a lot more.
But as I say, I am a Shino girl, and Shino is a Japanese glaze. It's basically just feldspar with a bit of clay in it.
Right.
But it's such a simple glaze, but it's an incredible thing that every firing and every nuance makes it different when it comes out of the kiln. I think it makes a difference what color socks you wear when you fire the kiln. Everything, the weather, everything makes
that
a difference
a bit
to
of
that
a
glaze.
Theme
so it's one
there,
simple
Lisa.
Glaze.
You made that, as I was telling Lisa off air, I watched her YouTube, and it's interesting. Go and try and find Lisa's YouTube where she's talking about the original Hands on Clay exhibition. I thought it looked a little bit like she was being interrogated, but it's a great video. It gives you a little bit of context for the first exhibition. But you mentioned the sock thing in that. Obviously, it seems to
me. Oh, did I?
Yes.
Oh, did I? Gosh, I think I'd come up with original materials after 4 years, wouldn't you?
Well, unless it's quite an important thing, you know, so for your process.
I was wearing my lucky socks.
That's it. Or if you're wearing the odd ones, we get an interesting interpretation for that particular firing. So the exhibition, we should do some housework, Lisa, for the exhibition. So there is an opening on the weekend?
The opening is actually on the 31st. It's on the Easter Saturday.
Oh, okay. So they're postponing it a bit. So yep. Okay, understood.
Yeah, you brought it forward a little bit, and frightened me a bit because I'm not quite ready.
Right.
So it does open on the 31st. And Stephen Kavanagh from Arts Out West will be opening the exhibition, which will be nice.
Okay, so when does it? What's the Thursday that it actually opens? Sorry, it's obviously not this Thursday.
It's not this week. It's it's the end of the month anyway. It'll be opened on it'll be the 30th, I'm guessing, the 29th or the 30th, just before that opening date.
Right, yeah.
And then it runs all through April, so there's plenty of time to see it.
Of course. And that's what we do encourage people to do, is not to just think, oh, well, I've missed it, you know, and I need to go, I've missed the opening or whatever. So it's March 28th. It actually opens. It goes through till April 28th. Sorry, I've just looked it up.
That's a good idea.
And we should also
know what's going on.
Of course, we should also try and mention some of the other artists, some of the other potters. I'm going to try and have some people on. We heard from Mr. Day. Was on the program last week with Jenny Ward, our roving reporter.
Mm-hmm. So, who was that? Greg Daly.
Greg Daly was on last week. Yep. But we are going to try and get a few other people. I think maybe Catherine Phillips or Melissa have put their hand up, Melissa Kelly. But there's a few artists who are going to be on. Are you aware of some of the other artists? And have you?
Yes. I was heavily involved in getting this group together. I'm very pleased to say, because I wanted us to focus on the Central West,
right?
Because it's easy to draw talent from Sydney. And they also have lots of galleries. But I wanted people to realise just what pool of talent is in the Central West and not maybe underappreciated, I don't know. And Sharon's gallery, Gang Gang, is such a beautiful space. Bring all that together here. So all the artists are from the Central West area. And then there's a guest artist, a delightful young man, Junto, who comes from down the mountains or Sydney area.
All right. Okay. Oh, brilliant. And how would he got involved?
Oh, I think Sharon knew him or heard of him, and his work is so unusual that she wanted to involve him introduce him as a guest artist.
All right. Okay, brilliant. Mm. Okay, so.
But there's going to be such a wide range of ceramics in this exhibition. There's everything from beautiful fine porcelain to some strange woman in out in the middle of nowhere firing rocks, and everything in between. So gorgeous shapes, wonderful glazes, some sculptural, some functional,
right.
Some big pots, some small. So, just a super variety. It's amazing what people can do with clay.
Okay. Well, I'll just quickly rattle through some of the people. Excuse my pronunciations if they're not correct. Pauline Welfare, Melissa Kelly, Peter Wilson, Ros Auld, Catherine Phillips, Greg Daly, as we mentioned. John Daly, is that any relation?
Yes. Greg's son.
All right. Jeff Thomas, Pam Welsh, Sue...
Fold Hazy.
Yep. Sarah O'Sullivan, Jay and Jan Totan.
Mm.
Yep. And Bill Samuels, I think that's probably...
No, Bill's not. I don't think Bill's in this one.
Oh, is he not in it? Okay.
No.
All right.
No, he usually is, but not this year.
Right. Okay. Brilliant. Okay. Excellent.
Yeah, well, that's a good lineup. I think it's, 12 or 13 of us, so it's a big variety.
Yeah. No, 13, yeah. So brilliant. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Lisa, and giving us a little history and a preempt of the exhibition.
Well, it's good to talk to you, Brad, and I hope I see you at the exhibition.
Yeah, of course you will. Yes.
Excellent.
I've got to come and see your rocks.
Yes, that's right.
I know what
indeed.
I'm interested to see how big they are, how much carting through the bush you've had to do to.
Yeah. Well, the biggest one I fired isn't going in this exhibition, actually, but I might fire it again. But that one was 50 centimetres across.
Oh, good heavens.
Both ways, and about 20 centimetres, 25 centimetres deep. Yeah, it weighed 30 kilos.
Yeah, right.
Getting it in the kiln was funny. Was, well, not funny. But it got in there.
Right, yeah. Okay. Brilliant.
Yes.
Well done. A bit of work involved there, Lisa.
Oh, yeah. Well, you don't know what's going to happen, do you, until you try. That's the thing.
Indeed.
That's the exciting thing.
Which,
love it.
Of course, brings us all the way around to hands-on clay, or in this case, hands-on rock.
Yes. Before clay is clay.
Excellent. Now, with everyone I have on the show, I always ask for a musical reference for us to play a song after the interview. So do you listen to any music while you're working? Is that a thing?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Look, I do listen to a Spotify playlist.
Right, and so give us a favourite artist or track.
Oh my goodness! You should have warned me about this one.
No, you don't warn. It's the first thing.
No,
you
there
think
is
of.
No warning.
There is no warning. It's the first thing you think of, Lisa. What's your?
Okay, well, right at the moment, I'd say Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Oh, I love you, Lisa. Excellent. what song?
Oh no, any
Green River, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Great.
Let's do that. We played it once. A couple of weeks ago, because there's a Vietnam show down at the Blue Mountains Theatre, and that's one of the tracks they highlight for tracks that came out during the Vietnam War. So,
I like a bit of classic rock.
We'll play Green River. And thanks once again for coming on the show.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
And here's Credence with Green River.
This is Talking Arts, our weekly focus on a wide array of art forms hosted by the Professor every Thursday from 6.
Gruffalo? What's a Gruffalo? A Gruffalo? Why didn't you know? Come and spot the Gruffalo at Scenic World in the Blue Mountains. Hidden amongst the rainforest of the Jameson Valley, the Gruffalo, mouse, snake, owl and fox are all waiting to be found. Catch the world's steepest train, the Scenic Railway into the valley, and search the deep dark woods along our elevated boardwalks. The Gruffalo Spotter Experience is included in the Unlimited Discovery Pass ticket.
Tune in every Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. for Scattered Sounds with John Unicum. John plays truly original vinyl recordings and CDs from his amazing, extensive music collection. Some weeks it's Motown, some weeks it's Mozart. You never know exactly what music it's going to be, except that it's going to be good. It's well researched and presented with reverence. That's Scattered Sounds every Wednesday on RBM from 6 to 8 p.m.
Are your windows in need of a makeover? Look no further than EasyView Blinds. Serving the Lithgow and Blue Mountains regions since 1995, EasyView Blinds is your trusted source for high-quality window furnishings. We offer a wide range of indoor solutions, from classic verticals and Venetians to modern sunscreens, panel glides, and honeycomb blinds. Plus, we've got you covered with plantation shutters, awnings, and roller shutters. And the best part? We come to you, measure your windows, and discuss the perfect affordable furnishings for your space. No obligations. Contact EasyView Blinds today at 02-6351-2518. EasyView Blinds, your window to a brighter home.
Anglicare's mobile community pantry food van will be at the Wentworth Falls Community Hub every second Friday, supplying low-cost groceries to help stretch your budget further, including free bread and pastries. The hub is located at the Holy Trinity Church at 17 Armstrong Street in Wentworth Falls. Enjoy a chat over coffee and register to receive a bag of groceries worth around $60 for only a $12 contribution between 9 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. If you need further assistance, please call 02 475 71516. The Anglicares Mobile Pantry Community Food Vans are enthusiastically supported by Radio Blue Mountains 89.1 FM.
If you're in the Blue Mountains and find yourself needing your car towed, then call Leo's Towing on 0413 439 091. Leo will come and help you. And not only will Leo come and remove any disused vehicles from your property, as recommended by the RFS, he's also happy to pay you cash for your old car too. Give Leo a call on 0413 439 091. He'll get you out of a tricky breakdown situation and he'll help you clear those old vehicles from your property. That's Leo's Towing on 0413 439 091.
He's got more contacts in the music and events game than you've had hot dinners. It's Brad the Professor Diedrich on Blue Mountains Live.
Hello and welcome back to Talking Arts here on Radio Blue Mountains 89.1 FM. Previously we heard a song from Creedence, who a lot of their music will be played at the music festival, I imagine. But that was picked by Lisa there, favourite of hers while she's gathering rocks in the bush there to fire in her kiln. Now we've got another ceramic artist on today's show, and that's Sarah O'Sullivan, who will also be exhibiting works down at Gang Gang Gallery on the 28th in the Hands on Clay exhibition. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Hi, Brad. Thanks for having me.
And so, Sarah, is this your first, or have you been in Hands on Clay before?
No, I have been in it previously, maybe 2001.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That would probably be the first one then. So.
Yes.
Yeah, 4 years ago. So you were in that exhibition with Lisa, in fact.
Yes, I was.
Yeah, brilliant. Excellent. And how did you find the first one?
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's great to see a collection of ceramic works together, and it's great that it coincides with the Golgon Festival, the ceramics festival.
Lisa was talking to us about that, that was one of the inspirations for starting the festival. One of the things Sharon wanted to do is to line up with the Gorgon one, and that way as people are heading out and coming back, they can drop in and see Hands on Clay.
Yeah, exactly. It's also nice to have a spread of ceramics from the area, so just sort of get a little cross-section of everything that's happening.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, it makes a little mini trail, I suppose. So
Yeah, nice.
What sort of things were you exhibiting in the first one?
My work hasn't really shifted that dramatically in its focus. So what okay. I exhibited in the first one and this one is
How about we go with a little sort of history of Sarah's work, and maybe then describe your process and do go into like the workshops and things that you've done and the style of work that you're doing. I saw that you were doing like decal workshops and all sorts of things that influenced the way your works look and etc. So
The work that I'm exhibiting this year and at the moment is predominantly botanical illustrations,
right?
And it's heavily influenced from the environment around us here in Lithgow and in the Central West. So I tend to take a sketch pad out onto bushwalks and sort of focus my attention on looking at the local flora, and I use that inspiration to take into my work and taking reference from those early botanical illustrations.
Right.
Yeah.
So if people haven't seen Sarah's work, it's you do rely heavily on repeated patterns and mouldings and things in your work. So in one way it is a little bit traditional, but then when you get in close and have a look, it's quite extraordinary the amount of work and the detail that go into it. So I think people people are aware of your work and always look for a consistent sort of quality to it. I always spend ages looking at your, you know, you can spend ages looking at an abstract glaze because of, you know, the extraordinary abstract variety and things like that. But I tend to spend a bit more time on your work just because of the quality and the detail. So,
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny that you should say that because I'm regularly trying to break away from that intense structured detail.
Oh dear.
I regularly try and challenge myself to loosen up and become a bit more
right.
Abstract. But I do find a lot of meditation in my process.
It's quite formal.
Like, so the forms are very traditional looking porcelain forms that right. I slip cast. And then the surface is where I kind of, I used to do a lot more carving, but I've recently, in the last few years, had some children.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So my allocation of time has shifted quite dramatically. So I can't spend right. hours of many days in a row doing something. So my process now is to, like, catch an hour here or do a little bit at nighttime over there. And so the painting on the surface allows me to come back and leave it for a couple of days and then come back again. So right. I've got that. But it is interesting how things shift.
Oh, dear. So, do tell us a little bit about the different exhibitions, and, of course, with the overseas study and things like that.
Yeah, it seems like worlds ago now, pre-COVID.
Right.
I left high school and I wasn't really sure what I was going to do, and I thought, oh, I'll just take a year at art school while I figure it out.
Right.
And in the first year of art school, you're given a chance to try everything, and I could not stop doing ceramics. I just loved it and I just right. kept choosing it.
And where was that, Sarah?
At the National Art School in Sydney.
Right.
And so I just kind of got addicted. I got a bug, and then I was like, well, I may as well just finish off this degree now that I'm in it. And I just kept choosing to do ceramics, and so you could choose your majors. And so I chose ceramics as a major, and then in your final year I was like, well, I must do ceramics. And then I enjoyed it so much, I applied to do a exchange to the Glasgow School of Art.
Right.
And it was interesting. That's probably where my work shifted the most, was the Glasgow School of Art has their ceramics department set within their design school rather than their art school.
Oh.
And so coming from the National Art School, where we were encouraged to, you know, it's very heavily the mark of the maker, you know, you want to see your fingerprints and, you know, develop your own glazes. It was that kind of environment. And then going to this design school where it was much more stylized, you know, you want to create multiple.
I've had lots of artists say that they go overseas, they go to, you know, go to the UK or they go to New York or Los Angeles or wherever they go, especially New York, and that is there's a very sort of high level of that sort of structured design element to the art schools, and that seems embedded to be at an art school, the school of blah blah blah. They don't give you as much free rein to, you know, it's a bit more like when you go here, you get that because they're offset by the TAFEs where you can learn skills and things like that. A lot of artists will go to TAFE to learn how to stretch a canvas, but then they go to Mackie or wherever to throw paint against the wall, you know. So
yes,
and it doesn't really work. It's not quite the same overseas. So
no, but I do think it gave me something that I wasn't learning at the, you know, I mean, it gave me a different focus. So coming back to the National Art School with those skills and that sort of design mindset, but then still pursuing the conceptual art side of it was a really beautiful balance for me personally. Suited my meticulous process. And then post art school, I took an internship with an artist named Robin Best, a ceramic artist who was based in South Australia at the time, right. And was working at the Jam Factory in Adelaide.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and so I worked down there for 2 years. Again, learning a different focus of a practice that the Jam Factory is sort of set up to encourage makers to go from an institution to working and creating a business from their practice. And so there was quite a heavy focus on product and, you know, how your livelihood. And
that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting. Yeah. It's at art school, you're not taught to make money from your work. You're taught to make your work.
That's right.
You hit the real world. And
to slot a little bit of business theology in there somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think that was a great learning curve for me. And I think that actually refined a lot of my finish. You know what I mean? Like making sure my works were. Silly things like making sure you're appropriately sanding the bottom of things and, you know, your...
Of course,
And your promotion of how you,
Once again, once again, technique that they normally teach here at TAFE, you know, so...
Yes.
I know a lot of artists do that. They go, they'll do whatever. A lot of artists will if they go to TAFE first, they then try to go to a regular art school and they just can't cope. It's just, well, I'm supposed to be working. No, sit and have a think in a corner for a bit, you know.
Oh,
no,
yes.
That's not going to help. No, I want I've got to stretch my canvas and I've got to, you know, put crop marks on my prints and, you know, blah, 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 you know. So.
Yeah, and I think that's why the National Art School does sort of stand out quite nicely is that it has come out of that TAFE. It was formed from a TAFE background. So it was when I went there, I'm not sure what it was a long time ago that I was studying there, but it was 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, it was definitely studio focused and
brilliant.
Now
quickly, there are some awards and some overseas study in there as well.
Look, it's sort of I've moved around and pursued ceramics wherever possible. I try to put my hand up for everything, you know. I applied for everything,
right,
and I just kept, you know, getting some you know, a trip. I went and studied it in France at the Cité International des Arts.
And how was that?
It was amazing. You're thrown into a essentially big apartment block full of other artists who were there on, you know, to make some work as well.
And, did you know any French at that point?
A scattering of high school French.
Right.
You know?
Excellent. We'll always get people through.
Yeah, enough, enough to say hello, be polite and say that I can't speak French in French.
No, of course.
Yeah.
Yes. Can I have a coffee?
Can I have one croissant, please?
While I sketch this.
Yeah. What was amazing is that everyone in the Cité is from somewhere else. You know what I mean? So it's a big melting pot of international artists, and so everyone's French is approximately as poor as everyone else's. You know, and you kind of struggle through together. So it was beautiful.
I spoke to someone else who was in a similar situation in France, and they said, "Yeah, but I'm a sketch artist. I just drew everything I wanted." But of course, being a ceramicist, what do you do? You know?
Yeah, I wasn't modelling clay for what I wanted anyway. I think the philosophy was just keep learning, and I think that still applies. So if that takes you to France or Korea or wherever it is, I think you're never going to stop.
Brilliant.
You know, adding strings to the bow.
Okay, so jump to move to the Blue Mountains and settle down and start to think about life in general, but also still, you know, firing. Do you fire at home? Tell us a little bit about your process.
We've set up a home studio. I've got two small kilns. I think they're technically called hobby kilns, you know, for old lady China painters. And they work wonderfully. They fit in the back of my car. They're single phase, so I can plug them in anywhere.
Oh, brilliant.
And I've I've worked out my work, you know, as long as it doesn't exceed 35 centimetres, I can fire it myself. Right. Anytime I've tried to go bigger than that, I've luckily got some friends around town that have bigger kilns.
Now, I was going to say that'd be a little bit of a resource for people around your area.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I work from home when I get the chance, basically. It's a hopefully it'll shift a bit more. My kids are 2 and 4.
Right.
So they're just exiting that super intense parenting demand.
You wish, says the other parent.
Yeah,
parents.
I know. Yeah, so as slowly as they move into school and stuff,
no, of course. Yeah, yeah.
More hours. And it's a beautiful space. It's actually a double garage that was part of the house that we've
all right.
We've just tiled and opened up. It conveniently was used as a family daycare before we moved
okay.
In.
So it still had a couple of large spaces. Yeah.
Yeah, it already had plumbing and shelving and glass sliding doors instead of roller doors in the garage. Right, and right. It has a window, so it actually feels it's quite lovely. It's a lovely space with
very
lots of natural light.
Yes, that is brilliant.
Yeah, and so hopefully in the future I can sort of have some people in for some classes as well. There's enough space
no,
in
of course.
There. For, yeah.
Well, we'll just quickly mention that Sarah's usually part of the Lithgow trial, and this year it sounds like she's taking a bit more of a role, helping with the social media and blah blah blah. But obviously, you'll be opening up the studio we're talking about, so people can come and have a look.
Yeah, it's a fantastic opportunity, the artist trail, to get a look inside people's spaces. I especially, as a sticky beak, like to have a look at how people set up at a home. You know,
right.
Again, another thing they
well,
don't
that's
take
a good
to
idea.
Art school,
yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, is how to make a art practice work within your space. So,
right.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity, the artist trail.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, keep
and Gang Gang Gallery is part of that as well. So we try and. Like everyone in town tries to open up their space and send you to other like-minded artists or gallery spaces.
Brilliant. Okay, good segue to start talking about Gagné to the exhibition, which kicks off at the end of the month. We're 2 weekends away, I think, yeah. And so tell us a little bit about this one, what you've prepared to put on exhibition at the Hands on Clay, the fourth version, 2024, and what you're hoping to get out of it, I suppose.
Yeah, well, like I say, it's such a great thing to see that cross section of ceramic work that is happening in the area. I think it's really diverse, which is great. And the work that I've created is, like I said, it's all very botanical focused. But it's predominantly endemic species to this area. Like I said, I kind of take inspiration from bushwalks around here.
Right.
And it kind of locates me, for me, when I'm doing it, it locates me in space, like in my time and my place and my space. And so taking that really intense look at one particular, you know, beautiful plant that grows here, and then sort of trying to highlight it onto these objects of, you know, these special, beautiful objects that sort of sit within a person's home to create this contemplation of these beautiful botanicals.
Brilliant. Lovely. Okay, so we did talk about the other artists with Lisa, so we don't have to go through that again, but it's Hands on Clay. It's the fourth version. It opens on March 28th, and that's the Thursday, as usual. And then on the 30th is the opening night. Obviously, Sarah will be there at the opening. Are you doing one of the days where an artist mans the gallery for the day?
Yes, I will be. I'm not entirely sure what day that is as of yet. I'll definitely be there on the Saturday.
Right.
And then I think it's, to be confirmed what day I'll be sitting in have a chat.
So, yeah, March 30th. Usually it kicks off about 2 p.m. in the afternoon and then a bit later on in the afternoon.
Yeah, and to follow the Gang Gang social medias, we'll have the what days people will be in there. And
Indeed. They're very, very good with the Sharon and Caitlin. They're very good with keeping people updated with exactly what's going on.
Yes.
And I usually do a feature artist thing every now and again during the exhibition because it's on for a month. So I think what we'll probably try and tee up is we'll do a bit of a, I'll do a feature and on when people are about to appear, so to let people know when they're going to be there. Definitely go in to the day when Sarah's in because she can elaborate a bit more and actually point at things when she's talking about them.
Yeah, always happy for a chat.
Yep. And if you can't get down there on that weekend, it is open till April 28th, so it's the whole month of April that the exhibition is on. And go and see there's 13 artists all together. And we've had Glenn Daly on the show, as you heard earlier. We had Lisa, and we'll have a few more on before the exhibition opens and during. So stay tuned. Now, Sarah, thank you very much for coming on.
No worries, Brad. Thanks for having me.
And as I do with all interviewees, I ask for a musical reference. Sorry to spring this on you, but I ask for a musical reference for either something that you listen to in the studio. Do you listen to music in the studio?
Yeah, I actually like to listen to Triple J Radio, actually.
Because, oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, they're not too bad. They're almost as good as us, so that's but what's a favourite artist, a favourite style
off the top of my head, maybe Tash Sultana, Jungle.
Ah, excellent. No, good track. Yeah, lovely. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll do that. We'll play Tash Sultana. And as I said, thank you very much for coming in and have a great exhibition.
Fantastic. Thanks, Brad. We'll see you down there.
Okay. Thanks, Sarah.
Bye.
And that was Tash Sultana there with Jungle. And thank you to Sarah for that interview, and to Lisa Edwards for the earlier interview tonight. Hope you enjoyed both of those. Both of those lovely ladies are currently exhibiting, or going to be exhibiting, down at Gang Gang Gallery for the Hands on Clay exhibition, the fourth one in the series. And that starts on the 28th of March. So do remember to get along. We'll probably interview a couple of other people next week on Talking Arts who are going to be exhibiting in that exhibition, and get you all fired up, as it were, to go down and see the exhibition at Gang Gang Gallery, 206 Main Street down there in Lithgow, it opens on the 28th of March. And then the opening itself is on the Saturday, kicking off about 2 in the afternoon, down at Gang Gang Gallery, Hands on Clay. And by the sounds of it, it's going to be wonderful. Stick around. We've got Blue Mountains Live coming up next. We've got an interview with Manus McGuire from Ireland, a fiddle player from Ireland, who's appearing at the Blue Mountains Music Festival. Then after that, we're going to talk to Marty Bright, who is a local comedian and event organiser, who's organising the first of hopefully many gigs at Bursa Lane in Katoomba. And that happens not this weekend, but the weekend after. And that gig is going to be have headliner Dan Muggleton, and Marty's going to be his support. So we're encouraging people to go along. It's going to be the main gig, the recommended gig for that weekend, and we're going to try and get as many people along as we can. You can go buy tickets online, but we'll talk about all that later on in the program. Stand by for the theme music for Blue Mountains Live. And you're here with Brad Diedrich, the professor, on Radio Blue Mountains 89.1 FM.